This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, it was it's ugly here this morning. It was an ugly second half. Looked pretty good in the first half till maybe the tail end when Michi Johnson hit that bucket, but just couldn't get anything your way to go offensively in that second half against the Gamecocks.
Yeah, the last few minutes of the first half and the first few minutes of the second half really told the story. You combine the two halves, it's a 16-0 run. And that was the ball game. That was it right there. Final 2 or 3 minutes of the first half. First 3-4 minutes of the second half. At that point, South Carolina took control, and they were the better team, guys.
Yeah.
They were the better team. Best team won.
You know, just looking at the number, watching the game, looking at the numbers, first thing that stands out to you, to me, and is you couldn't get to the free throw line. You couldn't find your way because of how good South Carolina is defensively to get points that you need. Arkansas depends on that. They're around 25% of their total points that come from the charity stripe. Chuck, you made 9 of 10. The percentage is great. The 10's the problem.
Yeah, and a lot of those came late. You know, I think they were 4 for 4 for the longest time. The bulk of the game, it seemed like every time I looked down at the stats, they were 4 for 4.
Yeah, that was the first half number.
Yeah, and so they got a few toward the end. But, no, that again, good teams play defense without fouling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do. And South Carolina's a really good defensive team. Now, they're not as explosive offensively as maybe some other teams, but they're a very solid defensive team. And they deserved to win yesterday.
At one point, you couldn't even get in the paint at all because they were doing a really good job on the pick and rolls and just the consistent. I was thoroughly impressed with what they did last night. Here was Caleb Battle yesterday. Christian, my mouse isn't working, so you might have to click it. Here's what Battle had to say about not getting to the line and how it affected Arkansas.
It's tough. I mean, that's part of our game plan. We could have went to the basket a little better, but the refs didn't call it that way, so, you know, sometimes how the game goes.
And that's really the story of this season is when Arkansas didn't get to the free throw line like they didn't during the majority of that game last night, they weren't going to win. And I know it's been difficult at times to watch this team offensively. Prior to this, they'd had 6 straight games with 80 or more points. But I know that's going to be an emphasis in the offseason. But what I keep coming back to is, again, that's what Musk keeps putting as a huge part and emphasis of his basketball team. I don't know how you get good defensive players and shooters at the same time, but they just have not been a good shooting team under Eric Musselman when it comes to spacing the floor. And I wonder, again, he tried to go scores this past offseason. I wonder what his philosophy, I know he's going to get back to nitty-gritty and tough and winners, but I wonder how he kind of pseudo-combines that with shooting because they just haven't had that at Arkansas these last 5 years.
Well, I don't know that I would start, you know, throwing 5 years into one game. I I hear you to an extent, but there have been plenty of times. Wait a second. There are plenty of times Arkansas has hit shots.
But it's been
the last 5 years.
Look at
the
stats,
last five games.
The three pointer. I mean, the three. They can't shoot. I mean, you look at the last five. I'm not saying they have.
We just talked yesterday about five games in a row where they were scoring 80 plus points.
But they're not from distance, which is where college basketball has shifted into, and that is an issue they tried to address last year. It didn't work because they went with more scores, less defense. And I'm wondering if he's able to add guys this offseason that will be able to not just play defense but also shoot the basketball too. Because they haven't been able to. I guess we'll find out.
I mean, I guess we'll find out. I don't share your sentiment completely. I hear what you're saying, but you know, we'll see if they're able to get that type player you're talking about.
I think when it comes to talking about the three, the thing Eric Musselman is looking for is people that can defend the three. I mean, that's been an area that's been up and down, and probably more down than up. But you know, that's one thing they've not been good at nationally when you look at the statistics, and one area of the team that I think he'll focus on. And we talk about offense and score, and they went for that and then have the defense. I think when he's evaluating, I think it'll be a defensive-first approach, Chuck.
I'm not sure. I think it's going to be position by position. Philosophically, yes. I think you know defense is what coaches think about first. I've never heard a coach say I don't pay much attention to defense. I mean that's what they all do. So I would imagine he'll have that in mind. I hear what Ty's saying, but generally speaking, when you talk about a guy who can shoot and play defense, you're talking about just a better overall basketball player. And I think maybe better overall basketball players
total package
would be part of the answer there, and shooting certainly part of that package. Yes.
So the guys that are on campus currently that still have a year of eligibility are Devo Davis, who I don't expect to be back. Caleb Battle was a little less emphatic about coming back to Arkansas last night in the post game. Didn't seem to really want to address it. Tremont Mark, Keon Mittefield, who was. Stayed at home during this tournament because of academics. Joseph Pinion, Layden Blocker, and Bay Fall. You got Jalen Shelley and Isaiah Elohim coming in, but that is your current roster with three open spots with departures. The guys that lost eligibility no longer can play: Graham, Mitchell, Davenport, Ellis, Lawson, Harris. So again, you've got plenty of open positions, and I would expect not all eight current scholarship guys to come back on this roster for next season. I don't know if it's half that. I don't know if it's three-fourths of that. I don't know, but that is that you at least have three open positions on this roster right now.
Yeah, they'll, you're right. I mean, there are open spots, and I think that they'll, the portal opens Monday, and for those who've graduated, there's already guys in there. And I don't think it would be inaccurate to say that Arkansas and others have already made contact on some of these guys.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be for the next month or so. And I'm sure the roster is going to look different. Some of those guys will be back. Some won't. We're naive if we don't think that a lot of it's going to be about the money.
And you could hear it in Muss's voice last night and the way he kind of, I don't say emphatically went after it, but he was pretty clear. But I don't think there's going to be a day or two of rest and then we'll start working on it. I think today they already have, and I think today in Ernst they'll hit the ground running on retooling this roster. At least that's the perception you want to create, and I believe that's exactly what will happen.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I'm sure, they were working on the plane last night.
Yeah.
They were working in the locker room after the ball game. They were working before the game. Certainly, when you get to this time of the year, whichever sport you're coaching, you've got an idea about which direction you're going. A season doesn't end and a coach looks at the roster the next day and says, all right, let's figure out what we're going to do. They already know, and the plans are in place. And but again, who goes into the portal? There's going to be – see, here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of coaches get fired. A lot of them got fired yesterday. Every time you fire a coach – 5 to 10 guys enter the transfer portal.
There you go.
And so you've already got players who are looking for a better deal, so to speak, for whatever reason. But now you're going to, you know, and look, it's not the first year you've had a lot of coaching changes, but I'm saying there's probably going to be more this year than last year. And that means more guys in the portal. So you just don't know what's going to be out there yet.
Yeah. How long does the – I mean, I know in football season, you're in between semesters. It's a little bit different sometimes on how long the team kind of sticks around and is together on campus. I don't know what basketball looks like, and they haven't been through one other than the COVID year where it was over this early. So, you know, I don't know how much longer kind of all the players are – kind of connected
really
together there.
Know.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm just wondering out loud. So
I would imagine some will be out of here pretty quickly. Some will continue on with school, and some will look. Some will do like a lot of them do. They'll figure out what their best option is for next year, and some of that's going to be going on too.
Well, you got to think about, Tommy, this too. Spring break is next week for UVA students.
That's
so
right.
A lot of them.
Starts today.
Well, yeah.
Soon as class is out, everybody hits the road.
Yeah, because you wouldn't dare miss a class the day before spring break begins. So.
No.
That's the most important class of the semester.
I could be wrong, and maybe some of the guys had in the back of their minds, and really not in the back of their minds, this team wasn't going to make the NCAA tournament unless something crazy happened there, but maybe they had planned some mutual spring break trips, and maybe they're all going to go their own way and do stuff with their high school
Kumbaya.
Friends. Yeah, that would be interesting to see where they end up. Either way, they're off next week, so they don't have to report unless, I mean, I don't think coach can tell them to come to campus.
But. Not as innocent as it used to be. Yeah. You know, I mean, seasons don't end and guys continue to spend all their time together, you know, the way they did during the season. It's that's the one thing about the end of a season is you look around the room or the bus or the plane and you realize this group of people is never going to be together again. It's never going to look like this again. Mm-hmm. And that's the finality of the end of a season.
I heard you talking with Z about that last night on the Learfield postgame. I hadn't thought about it like that, but there is a good chance that these guys, I mean, all 15 of the dudes aren't there together for however many years unless there's a reunion down the road.
Well,
reunion.
Think about the people that you spent, Ty, for you it's a lot more recent.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the people that you spent a lot of time with at the end of your high school time or the people that you spent a lot of time with around graduation. And you know, how many of those people do you still see? You know, some of them you do, but I can tell you, Ty, over the course of your life, the vast majority of those people will fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be around them as much anymore. So for a lot of these guys, that process begins pretty early. And, you know, for some of them, it'll begin right now. But you do look around the room and you do realize these kids don't think about it. As an older guy now, I do. You look around and you realize that some of these people you're looking at, talking to right now, you're never going to see again after tonight. You're never going to cross paths again. You think you will. You can't imagine that you won't. But something will happen, and all of a sudden you'll look up and 20 years will have passed.
Yeah.
So that's the finality of a season. And that's. But now look, for the coaches, it ain't over. You got to go out and hit the – there's no spring break for these guys.
No Disney.
You got to go out and work the portal. And, you know, you got to retool this thing for next year. Guys, let me pause just for a second and talk about Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. If you're buying or selling a home, these are the guys you need to speak to, whether you're in the River Valley, whether you're in northwest Arkansas, north central Arkansas. If you can hear me. There's a Weichert agent close by, and that individual, I promise you, is ready to help you through the process. It's different if you're a buyer or a seller, but there are some common denominators. Knowledge of the business, knowledge of the area, the ability to listen. That's important if you're a buyer or a seller. You want your agent to pay attention to what you're saying and keep in communication with you as the process moves forward. That was my experience at Weichert Realtors, the Griffin Company, as a buyer and a seller more than once. That was my experience, and I think that'll be your experience, too. Now, they're in northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington and Benton County, locations in both counties. They're in the River Valley in the Fort Smith area. They've got that office in Branson we were talking about. Got a great selection of homes, and you can log on to WeicherGriffin.com.
I didn't even go to my high school 10-year reunion, so that actually, what you just said there makes sense.
They're planning our 30th now.
I saw that
on Facebook the other night.
Jeez. Well, Ty, if they'd had a wedding around that class reunion, you'd have been there. But since it was just a reunion and there wasn't a wedding attached, you had no interest.
This is true.
Chuck, you were mentioning some of the coaches that have been let go. Jerry Stackhouse informed, according to ESPN, that he's no longer going to be employed. Apparently, his buyout, according to sources, is $15-plus million.
They just renewed him. They just renewed him last year.
Before the 2 years ago,
whatever it was.
Yeah, before the 22-23 season.
Private schools have money, too. They just spend it differently.
Yeah, and I was told by someone that covers the team that he's got a mom that's in bad health and in North Carolina, so in hindsight, this could be a good thing, him being out there.
His mom wasn't in good health last year, and your parents aging are part of life. The idea that he was okay with being fired so he could go be with his mom, that's not true. He wanted to win and keep that job.
Okay.
And that's people making themselves feel better about themselves for thinking that somebody ought to be fired. That's what that's about. You rail on someone and say he doesn't deserve to come back, and then when they fire, it's probably for the best because his mom's sick. He never said that. He wanted to keep that job.
That's fair.
Is there any movement at Missouri?
No.
I haven't seen anything about Dennis Gates.
I neither.
Dennis Gates will survive. He won 25 games a year ago. He was a conference coach of the year.
They have a good recruiting class coming in, including one of Arkansas's own and Norbo Atain. I think they're holding out on that. Now, he's going to be in a similar situation and probably to a worse degree than Eli Drinkwitz was a year before last year. So that is something to, that job is something to keep an eye on. Kenny Payne was let go at Louisville. Lamont Paris and Todd Golden both got extensions at South Carolina and Florida. So plenty of movement just within the SEC. I was trying to – it's hard to keep up with all the games and in addition to coaching yesterday, but Paris deserves it. You just mentioned Gates, the coach of the year last year, Chuck. Paris was it this year. Todd Golden and Florida have had really good seasons. They'll both be in the NCAA tournament. And I wouldn't be surprised if South Carolina goes and wins this thing. They've won, I think, 5 of 6.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how sports can humble you so quickly? You could be coach of the year, if you're Dennis Gates last year, and not win one league game this year. I mean, isn't that – I just think there's something to learn out of that, how sports can quickly humble you. You look at Eric Musselman's situation, never had a losing season as a head coach in college basketball, has had tournament success that we have opined on for the last 3 years. Not going to have a winning season, didn't have a winning season, not going to make the tournament this year. I just find it interesting from a life perspective, Chuck, how sports can humble you. When you think you've got it all figured out, it'll show you otherwise.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, absolutely. We all tend to think it's about us, too. We, you know, our success or failure or where the Razorbacks, for example, finish in the conference has to do with us, only us. Doesn't have anything to do with other schools recruiting or, you know, trying to step their game up. You know, everybody out there has got money to spend in the SEC. That's the reality. Everybody's got money to spend. Even Vanderbilt can buy out a coach. You know, the idea that other schools aren't trying to get better, you know, that's the thing when you're – and we are, let's just be honest, in some respects, not so much in men's basketball, but in some respects, I mean, we've been playing catch-up for a long time. And the problem is we've gotten better, but so has everybody else because they got money to spend too. But, yes, sports can do that. There's no doubt about it. But I'm interested to see what happens. You know, whoever gave all this money to NIL up at Mizzou, I don't know if that's basketball money, too, or if that's just football money. I don't know. It didn't look to me like, just being very honest, it didn't look to me like they had a lot of NIL money this year. Because the only guy that they really went out and got was that kid from Indiana who's a good player. But he wasn't one of the guys that, you know, everybody in America said, you know, whatever we do, we got to get this guy.
Yeah. How do you get more NIL money when you have a disappointing year, like Missouri, like Arkansas? I mean, I'm not there at those meetings. How do you go energize someone to, hey, we need more money for NIL after you've had a bad, disappointing year?
My take on NIL right now, when I look at it nationwide, and this is probably not fully correct. I will acknowledge that. But you got to have one guy. You got to have one guy give you a boatload of money.
You got to have a sugar daddy.
You've got to be a good one because you've got to have that one individual that is willing to buy it for you, or a small group of individuals who are willing to buy it for you.
Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State when he was alive. So
this idea that you can gather thousands of people together and make one like mind out of those thousand people, I don't know. You better be awfully good. You better win every year. And I just don't know that we're in that spot. I just look at most of the schools out there, and you got to have one guy. You got to have one guy. And
I think you're right.
Sometimes that one guy is really, really hard to find. There aren't that many of them.
I wonder on that subject, like for Missouri, what was it, 40 or 60? I don't remember exactly the total that was earmarked for NIL. But I wonder if Ole Miss, because you haven't heard any reports that it was like one guy that reported, or if they took the opposite approach. If their 2 10-plus win seasons in 3 years caused that fan base to be like, you know what, I'm going to invest. I'm going to do it. Because I felt like, again, Arkansas missed an opportunity after the 2021 season, not pushing at the time one Arkansas NIL. And now it's Arkansas Edge. And now, as you just framed it, Tommy, you're exactly right. You've had a terrible basketball team. You've had a terrible football team. And you're asking people for more money to be competitive when there's no guarantee that that money is going to turn these programs around. That's a tough ask for just the average Joe or even someone that's making six figures.
I got to stop this because every time the Razorbacks lose, we spend the next day talking about NIL. And that's what happens. And it's what's happening across college sports right now. Every time things don't work out like you want them to, you blame NIL, or the discussion turns to NIL. Look, schools have NIL money, but here's one of the things that you have to think about. You're operating under the assumption that every dollar is spent wisely. I don't know a single person that spends every dollar they have wisely. I just don't. The idea that every investment you make is going to be good. I don't know anyone who invests in the stock market that every single investment pays off a dividend. Sometimes you pick the wrong horse. And in the NIL world, if you pick the wrong horse, you better have the money to buy your way out of that mistake, or you're going to have to live with it for a year. And sometimes that year can really turn into a bad year.
It can be a long year.
If you spend the money wrong.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McCarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McCarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McCarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
As we welcome in our friend Scott Tabor, we appreciate your time as always, Scott. You think about how the football and basketball season went, and I realized back when you were in school, Scott, the team had just gone to the Final Four the year before. You had a good football team, but do you think that enters the minds of players that they have kind of some external pressure from fans to deliver based on how the other two big sports on campus didn't succeed this year?
Well, let's just make something clear. There weren't any fans back in the 70s and 80s for baseball, but just the attitude for people in general and for players, I mean, they're kids. You're on the college campus, and just everything around the campus is just a lot more fun when your teams are winning. I mean, just face it. It makes class easier to swallow. So yeah, the attitude was great, you know, and you just go out and you play, and it makes you a little bit more proud to be a Razorback.
Yeah. Colin Fisher started earlier this week, and he's been starting the midweek camps. Kid from Noble, Oklahoma, a freshman they really like. Dave mentioned there's a possibility he plays this weekend. When the midweek game's in, what role do you envision him playing for this pitching staff?
You know, he could have several. He'll be the long reliever, I think, to come in, be a bridge after McIntyre, or if you're facing a left-handed heavy hitting lineup, he could come in first and see how he does, how he fares early in the game or in that middle part of the game, getting to the closers, and then bring McIntyre in, you know, near the end. He could be a spot starter because, let's face it, we've been very, very, very fortunate. I'm not going to say it. Arms get tired, let's say that. Near the end of the season, sometimes a starter may need a break. Something's happened. They get a flu. And he could be a spot starter. So I think he's going to have a heavy hand once it comes into conference and in postseason.
Yeah. Scott Tabor with us here on the Morning Rush on the McClarty Daniel Hotline. Our visit with Scott is brought to you by Alumni Hall. Let's talk about the added pressure, or is there any added pressure of wearing the collar of the number one ranked team in the country? Is this something you believe this team relishes and they like this role, or does this put undue pressure on this ball club heading into SEC play?
Well, all these kids come from high quality programs. All these kids played high caliber travel ball. All these kids have been on number one teams and had targets on their back all their life. These are all exceptional elite athletes. And so that's more a fan thing than anything else. And you can talk about curses and you can talk about everything else that goes on. It's not a pressure. I think it's more of a pride thing. You kind of puff your chest out a little bit and walk in saying, hey, we're number one. You know, you come and get us. It looks like the attitude that they have. They played with a top rating all year long. They don't play any different. You know, the pitchers pitch and the hitters hit. Hopefully they pitch well and hit a lot. But so it's you can see the stats. I mean, your stats don't lie. You are who your stats say you are. And this pitching staff is just, they've been consistent, which is something that you really, really, really need the deeper into the season that you go, and your hitters are kind of starting to lay their sift out about who hits well, who hits for average, who hits for power, who strikes out a lot. And so you can see it on paper now. You know, before it was just, let's see, I think this guy's going to be a power hitter. Well, I think he's got one home run. I think this guy's going to be a consistent hitter. Well, he struck out 45% of the time that he hits. So it's on paper now. They can see it. They kind of have a feel for their players, and going into conference, I think they should be feeling really good.
16 games in, you mentioned the hitting. If I hear one comment that's, you know, not glowing about this top-ranked Razorback team, it is some concern about production at the plate. Middle of the lineup comes up. We're 16 games in, as I said. Do we have enough of a sample size now to worry about it? What's your thought, Scott, on kind of how this team performs at the plate, top to bottom?
Well, you know, Chuck's a big stats guy, and you can look at stats. And I'm looking at stats right now. We got guys hitting, five, six guys hitting over 340, 345. You know, seven guys over 350, I think, or somewhere in that area. That's good. You know, a team batting average of almost 300 all the way up and down the lineup. And so, like I said, you can just look on paper and say, I want this guy, this guy, this guy. But you have to find a place to put him. Peyton Holt, I know, has always seemed like he's kind of the odd man out. Dude's hitting 372. And so it's every hitter's going to have times where they come up and there's a guy on second and third and two outs. And you need both those runs. And they don't perform. I mean, that's just part of the odds. You're just not going to do it every time. You know, one for three, you're a 333 hitter. That's great. So it's the guys that that are going to step up that we'll see as the season goes on that consistently get that base hit when you need it. And I think that's coming. The hitting seemed like it was a lot further behind than I thought it would be. But I think that's coming. And I think, again, you know, Van Horn has some great problems to solve. You know, which great hitter, which consistent hitter am I going to put in? And I think he's nailed down first base and he's nailed down shortstop. And so I think a lot of things are coming into, a lot of pieces are coming together.
Scott Tabor's with us, courtesy of our friends at Alumni Hall in Fayetteville. Scott, Tommy mentioned this earlier this week, the prospect of the number one and number two teams playing each other at the end of the month, LSU coming into Arkansas. And I think it's happened before. I think Clay mentioned Arizona State's coming here and there's one versus two. But what could that dynamic be like, not just for LSU and Arkansas, but for college baseball in the SEC, if it's that early of a matchup at the end of March?
Well, if the weather's great, it'll just produce a crazy atmosphere, and that's what you want in college baseball. That's exciting for everybody, and it helps every team in the country for people to get excited watching college baseball. They show a picture of the stadium, a panoramic of our stadium when it's full and playing LSU, and the weather's great, and the beer's flowing, and we're playing well, and they're playing well, and it comes down to a nail-biter. I mean, that's just fun. That's why you, as a player, that's why you play. And as a fan, that's why you buy tickets. That's why you buy tickets. The College World Series is almost a step down from SEC play. And so it's kind of like going from college baseball to minor league baseball. Holy cow, what a difference. Stay in college, kids. Yeah. So I think it's great for everybody. You know, it's having an early season matchup, because those matchups, the numbers really, really do not matter. And you hate to say that, but at the end of the day, they really don't matter. If we take two out of three, or if we lose two out of three, at the end of the year, you know, our ratings are in our power schedule power of our, anyway, our ratings, RPI, I guess, will be high enough that we do what we need to do, which is win. Mm-hmm. We'll be in the World Series. And then it's a free-for-all.
Well, Scott, should be a great weekend weather-wise in Fayetteville. Enjoy the games, and we look forward to next week as we have a weekend of SEC play under our belt to talk about the next series up and eventually get to the LSU game at the end of the month.
Be great to start all 3-0, especially against Missouri. We just need to stomp Missouri every time we see in every sport.
Here.
So, yeah, that's my opinion.
I like that.
Hey.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, we got our Fitzman Friday picks coming up, but for now, let's get into our Hog update. Eric Mossman, how he defined the season last night.
This is new territory. This, you know, right now, the season ending stings. I have not been in this position. You know, hopefully the program's not. Hopefully we're playing deeper in this tournament, but more importantly, hopefully we're playing in NCAA tournaments. It's a new experience for me, and one that I hope our group of players that will be here next year and the coaching staff, you know, we certainly hope that, you know, we're back making tournament runs, not just making the tournament. So a different feeling right now than what many of us have experienced.
and one he never, ever, ever wants to have to feel again, guys.
Well, I'm sure that's true. Nobody wants to go through it, and hopefully he won't.
So that's kind of Muss's thoughts. We've got some more stuff to get into in hour number three, just kind of detailing this basketball team. As far as baseball is concerned, we're talking with Scott earlier. You've got three games this weekend against Mizzou. Dave Van Horn and this team have won six straight SEC openers, five of them sweeps. 6:30 tonight, 2 o'clock tomorrow, and 3 o'clock Saturday. Tommy, you're the only one that's in Fayetteville or in Arkansas right now. Gloomy weather tonight, but no, it's cloudy, but there's no rain, and then you have a little bit better weather on Saturday and Sunday for this.
Yeah, we got daytime highs in the 60s, you know, every day this weekend, so I think we're going to be just fine. Yeah, it may be a little overcast, but I think we're going to have good baseball weather. We're into night games now. We're playing in the evening, so you might have to take an extra layer with you, but, you know, no rain till like next Friday here in Northwest Arkansas in the current forecast. And right now, temperatures, daytime highs, mid to upper 60s each day in Fayetteville.
Softball is on the road this weekend. They are in Auburn. They'll play tonight at 5, 3 o'clock, and 1 o'clock, all on the SEC Network Plus. That's your baseball and softball, and that's your Hog Update, presented by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
So I'm planning on going to see some of these games the rest of the weekend here in Nashville at the SEC tournament. You've got some quality games on today, and hopefully we'll see a good semifinals and championship matchup. You've got several other conference tournaments going on. As we welcome our friend Sean in from the Fence Man, who's on the road this morning via the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Sean, welcome in. It is another edition of our Fence Man Friday Picks tournament time. Are you ready to go?
Let's get it done.
All right, time for it. Fence Man Friday.
Fence Man Friday Picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, let's start the SEC before we talk a little Arkansas baseball. Tennessee is a 10.5-point favorite, Tommy, against the Mississippi State Bulldogs later on today. 10.5, you taking the Dogs or the Vols?
I'll take the Volunteers today.
Yeah, I got the Vols winning big, Chuck. I think they're rested. I think they're ready to go. I'm not of the belief that they're holding out and waiting for the tournament. I think they at least get to the championship, and it starts through Mississippi State today.
I would think so. I watched Mississippi State play yesterday, and they didn't look great to me. But, yeah. That's a lot of points, but I'll take Tennessee, I guess.
They're just limited, offensively speaking, of Mississippi State. Sean, where are you going on this one, man? Starkville or Knoxville?
Knoxville all the way. Go Vols.
Knoxville winning by 11 or more. A&M against Kentucky, a tighter line. 5.5 is what the Wildcats are favoring today. Tommy, I actually think A&M covers, because the only way they make the NCAA tournament is if they – I don't even know if they could get the championship and get there, but I don't know if they win, but I think they at least cover today, that 5.5-point spread.
This will be a road game today for A&M. I'll take Kentucky and lay the points.
Where are you going, Chuck?
I'm going to pick Kentucky to cover, and Texas A&M still gets into the NCAA tournament.
Wow. Bonus point, Big C, if that is correct. Sean, Aggie Land, I'm assuming. It's Mama Fitz Man listening.
You know it, man. All the way.
Florida against Alabama is our next game, y'all. And Florida, last time they played Alabama, just tethered them up and down the court. It was like a 20-point game. Tommy, I think Alabama gets revenge today. They are 4.5-point favorites. I could see them winning by 10 or more in this one.
Give me Florida today.
To cover. Where are you going on this one, Chuck? Gators or Crimson Tide?
Well, now, what's the line one more time?
4.5 is what the Fighting Natives
are
favored
by. 4.5?
Yeah.
I'll take Alabama.
I hate that I'm thinking that Alabama's going to win this game, but I like them to get revenge. Sean, what about you, man? Gator Chomp or Roll Tide in this one?
I'm going to go totally opposite. I'm going to go with Gators. I think the Gators will pull it off. Get a surprise upset.
I would be happy if they did. All right, last game before we get baseball. You got South Carolina against Auburn. Auburn is a 7.5-point favorite against the Gamecocks, who beat Arkansas by 14 yesterday. Guys, I don't know how it's that big. Yeah, I've got South Carolina. I've got South Carolina winning today. Not just covering. I have them winning today. That's my dark horse to win this thing. I have no problem that South Carolina wins it. No ill will. I like Lamont Paris. I like that basketball team. I'll take South Carolina to outright win today.
Yeah, I'll go with I think that's too many points. South Carolina the points for me.
Auburn wins. Auburn covers.
Ah, all right. All right, Sean, you put the icing on the cupcake. What happens in this one? Auburn, again, favored by 7.5.
Nope. Gamecocks are going to take it.
All right, Gamecocks it is. All right, this is the last thing we'll do here on our Fence Man Friday picks. Tommy, I know you like these over-unders with Hagan Smith. Right now on the Bet Saracen app, he has an over-under of 8.5 strikeouts, but the under, it has to be under 74.5 pitches. So 74 pitches or less, 9 strikeouts or more to hit that bet.
I like both of them. He'll get the strikeouts, and he won't need that many pitches.
I think so, too. I think he is right. He's been itching for SEC play. We've seen it already with some of his performances. Missouri's either 9-8 or 8-9. They're not that good. Sean, I think he hits it today. What do you think happens with Hagan in another start tonight?
Well, if I understand the betting correctly, to win the bet, he's got to do it at what you said, under the pitches and the strikeouts, correct?
Correct. He's got to go under 74 pitches or 74 or less, and then over strikeouts, 9 or more.
Okay. I think he's going to need more pitches, but he will get the strikeout. So I guess I'm going Oak.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So the Arkansas Razorbacks did not beat a single top six team in the SEC this year. They competed against the likes of Alabama and Kentucky. They competed for a half against Tennessee and South Carolina, and then were blown out by Florida and Auburn. And I think then this is something we were discussing earlier. That speaks to the quality of the top half of the SEC. It's not as deep as it was last year. I think they got 8 tournament teams in last year. This year, maybe A&M gets in at the 7th. But guys, you look at that top half. Yeah. Golden just got a contract extension. You got 4 teams that sit at 13-5 in the Gamecocks, the Tigers, the Wildcats, and the Crimson Tide. And Tennessee's the top dog at the top of the list.
Well, I don't think we appreciate how good the top end of this league is. Now, Arkansas got in the tournament last year with an 8-10 SEC record. I think we forget that sometimes. But you know, Ty, you just went through it, and guys. I'm not making excuses for the season. I just think this league has improved and continues to improve, and I think, Chuck, it took a step forward this year. I think we won't know until we get the litmus test or the proof of the NCAA tournament, and we'll see how many teams do get in ultimately. But I think when we look back on it, we're going to realize, you know, Arkansas wasn't as good as those teams, but this was a better top half team or top-heavy league than I think maybe we realize today.
I think there's more than one team that can make a run.
Yes.
And by that, I mean get on a heater and get to the Final Four. I think there's more than one team that could do that. You know, there are still some teams out there. There are still some games in this league that I watch sometimes where it's just not quite there. But there are other games that I watch, and it generally involves, you know, 4, 5, 6 teams. It is good. I mean, it's good basketball. Mm-hmm. And now here's the thing. The league's not had a national champion in, this would be 10 years. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ty. I don't think there's been a Final Four team since 19. Is that the last time?
Mm-hmm.
So if the league is as strong as we think it is, and if the top half is really better, surely one of them will get to the Final Four. You've still got to get lucky, but surely one of them will.
Yeah, Tennessee or Kentucky are the top two contenders, in my opinion. Here's the deal about the SEC. Like you said, you've got to overcome the postseason lack of success, because that's a big deal. I mean, Kentucky's the last national champion, Auburn's the last Final Four.
It's the only deal.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. It's the only deal.
And that's true. But what I look at is the SEC is now cleared the second-best conference in the country. Big 12 is number one. Think about this. You beat the number one team of the Big Ten, exhibition or not. You beat the number one team of the Big Ten and a number one overall seed, and you beat the number two team in the ACC. And the ACC is not getting jack squat in the tournament this year. They're going to get like three, maybe four teams. The SEC has become the second-best conference in America relative to where they were, I don't know, 10 years ago, like we were talking about when Kentucky just mopped the floor with teams for the most part. That is where you are in SEC basketball because of the investment, the late Mike Slive and whoever, I'm forgetting the guy he hired. Y'all have spoken his name before.
Trangese.
Yeah.
Mike Trangese.
And Arkansas, it's had success the last 3 years in this upwards. But I look at a team like South Carolina, for example. So South Carolina goes 11-21 in Lamont Paris's first year. This year they're 26-6. And you've seen some other teams, like we mentioned Missouri, Coach of the Year Dennis Gates. They're terrible this year, so they took a step back. But there's a lot of teams in this league that maybe you either didn't expect to be good, and they have been, or like Arkansas, you expected to be really good, and they fell off a cliff. So this league is really hard to determine, and that speaks to the competitive nature, especially the top, and that, again, Arkansas did not beat a single top six team in this league.
Well, the top six was a lot better. I mean, there's just, you know, I felt like when we saw Florida early that they had a chance to be good. Now, their record's not quite what, you know, Alabama's or even South Carolina's was. But all those teams are good. All of them have a lot of talent. And all of them played together well this year, which I think is the most important thing. That's why they're where they are. So, yeah, any of those teams, you know, they could stack up in any conference against anyone. The other, you know, six or eight this year, I don't know that I'd put them all in that category.
This, when you look at what's going to happen in the off season, and I know people are down in the dumps how this season. When I get it, I mean, you're 16-17, you're preseason, up pick third in the SEC, and you were, instead of third to the top, you were third to last. Basketball team can bounce back quicker. We've seen it time, and I mean, I just referenced South Carolina, who had a guy drafted in the first round in C.G. Jackson. You can, it's not exactly the snap of the fingers, but all it takes is a few guys to turn this around. And I'm not, again, sold yet that they're going to do that next year, because we have no idea what the roster looks like. But for those that are worried that this is going to become a trend, and it hasn't been great the last 2 years, if you look at the regular season, it's a lot easier to adjust and get guys in here for basketball, even with the upage in competition, than it is, say, football, which everyone listening would be floored if they won 8 games next year because of the turnaround that would mean for this football program.
Well, let's before we turn it into football, let's go back to what you were talking about with South Carolina. It shows the value of the portal. And I'm talking about basketball here. It has nothing to do with the football stuff you were saying. The importance of hitting the jackpot. Because you look at South Carolina, last year they had G.G. Jackson, first-round draft pick. Where, you know, the whole deal, the entire thing was projected first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
This year they got a guy from Wofford. They got a guy from Minnesota. And their fortunes have been completely reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the value of just hitting the jackpot. I don't recall one moment on this radio program when during the transfer portal season, last basketball season, we said, man, South Carolina's really hit the jackpot with B.J. Mack and Talon Cooper. I didn't hear anybody saying that. But it just shows you. Sometimes luck's involved, guys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you pick the right horse, and the personality that a kid has that you've tried to judge in 2 weeks, sometimes your pick's correct. And other times the guess you make on how the guy's going to blend in with what you have or how coachable he's going to be, it's the wrong guess. And unfortunately, in the current era, if you miss, it's going to screw up your whole season. But if you hit gold, it can turn things around night and day. And that's what's happened in South Carolina.
Yeah, because it's a combination in getting those transfers, but they also hit on a true freshman and Colley Murray-Boyles, who was, I mean, he dominated you yesterday, 24 points and ripped you up. So it's not, you have to still have young talent. Like, you can't just do it with veterans.
Well, I'm not dismissing that, but Colley Murray-Boyles, as good as he is, would not be carrying them by himself. There's
no way. As a true freshman, no. But yeah. it is, and that's what Muss has done prior to this year, is he's gotten the transfer players, which there's numerous ones that we can name. He's had the freshmen that have played, and then he's also had the guys that have been on campus. And this year's team had a combination of that. It just didn't mesh.
This hour of the Morning Rush brought to you by McLarty Daniels. Find them online at McLartyDaniel.com. Chuck, you said something in the last hour during our picks, and I want to go back to that A&M's going to win and they're going to make the tournament. Is it because of the quad one wins that they've got? I think it's six at this point. I mean, you look at the standings in the SEC, I think it's easy to draw a line after Florida and say all of those teams are making the tournament. Florida won 11 SEC conference games. They have 22 on the year. A&M's 9-9. And they haven't won their 20th regular season game. They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost to Arkansas twice. Is it purely the quad one wins that makes you believe they're in the tournament?
Well, Joe Lunardi, I mean, basically what I'm doing is quoting Joe Lunardi. He had at Texas A&M as the first one out going into the week. And his thought, what he said was, he said, if Mississippi State beats LSU, they're in. And he said, if Texas A&M wins their first-round game, they're very likely in, too. And so A&M, now look, do I think either one of these teams have any chance whatsoever of making a run? Absolutely not. No, I don't think either one of them have a chance of making a run. Based on what I've seen, and I was – thought that even more after watching Mississippi State yesterday. Neither one of them is going to make a run. But with the value that they place, and I think it's too much emphasis, frankly, but just based on what I gather, what I read, the people that handicap this stuff for a living, A&M's right there.
Well, that'd make eight SEC teams. If that's right, Lenardi's more right than he's wrong, that would make eight teams in the SEC get in.
Big 12 would it be the only conference I think that would surpass that. Again, you have it's undeniable at this point. You have the second best conference in college basketball. You got the best conference in college football. You got the best conference in college baseball. I don't know if you're going to overcome the Big 12 with them adding, I guess, Arizona and Arizona State this next season. But it is about as competitive as it's ever been. But to where we started the conversation, you've got to do it in the postseason. They've got to have one of these teams actually eclipse an Elite Eight and get to the Final Four in Arizona, or it's all for naught. It doesn't matter.
Well, I won't go so far as say it doesn't matter, but SEC basketball is a lot better. It's a lot better. I've seen it evolve over the last decade, and believe me, there have been years when it's been bad. But it is not at the national level in terms of winning championships. You know, you think about Omaha, four of the eight teams from the same conference. You think about two SEC teams playing for the national championship in football. SEC basketball is not quite at that level. It's very good, particularly compared to the rest of the country and compared to where it once was. But I think we take for granted sometimes how elite the SEC is in football and baseball on the men's side, and those aren't the only sports. I mean, it's elite in a lot of conference men's or sports rather, men's and women's. But I don't think men's basketball is quite at that level yet.
Do we put too much into the results of the tournament? I mean, particularly when you look at the Final Four last year, San Diego State, Florida Atlantic. Do we put too much into how that tournament turns out as to whether you're good or bad as a conference?
Oh, yeah, I think so. No doubt about it. Absolutely, we put too much emphasis on it, but it's just one of the ways we keep score.
I mean, you play for the postseason, you play for a championship, and while the SEC has had some good teams in regular season and success, I know it's not the fairest way to determine a champion. That's the college foot. It's currently the college football playoff. I don't know about this 12 team, but you got to win, man. You got to win. One of these teams has to get over. I mean, Arkansas has held up. Think about the last 3 years. Arkansas has either been the longest team in the SEC to still be in the tournament, or they've been tied. No SEC team made it past the Sweet 16 last year. Arkansas made it. 2 years ago, they were both in the Elite Eight. And 3 years ago, they were in the Elite Eight. And there was no other team that was with them at that point. So prior to this year, Arkansas really, quote-unquote, carried the bucket for the postseason. I mean, these coaches, Rick Barnes has to get the moniker off his back in Knoxville. He's going to keep – if he can't win with this team, the best team he has ever had, and at least get to a Final Four, he's going to have that moniker the rest of his life. And you might say that's unfair, but when it comes to the talent he has had in Knoxville, and especially with this team, it's part of it. It's part of it. And
well, I didn't say that. My question was, did we value it too much?
No.
That was my question.
No, and I told you, no. It's part of that. You compete for a championship, and if you don't live up to expectations where you're projected as a 1 or 2 seed, then the postseason.
Well, that's Tommy was asking about conferences, not 1 or 2 seeds.
You compete against other conferences and other teams, and just because you beat up each other and you think you're good, their actual barometer is when you play other teams leading up to a championship. And if you fail and lose to those teams. No,
your conference isn't as good.
No, that goes to the idea of why the SEC is so good in football and baseball. Last three national titles in baseball, SEC teams, and the baseball is the hardest to get there. Football, basically every year except for one, you've either been in the championship or been in the playoffs since 2006. So the proof's in the pudding there. Basketball is not as difficult as baseball to get to the championship in terms of the track record. So to your point, no, we don't make too much light of it. That's what you play for.
Well,
you match up against other teams and conferences. If you can't win, your conference is
it's
not
part
as
of the equation.
Part of
it's certainly part of the equation. I mean, that's kind of the point I was making a little bit ago. That you know, you've not had a Final Four team in 5 years, and you've not had a national champion in 10 years. So there is a point where. You need one of your teams to raise the trophy. There's no doubt about that.
But we didn't undervalue the West Coast Conference last year, you know, because San Diego State, I think that's the
absolutely.
League we're in. I mean, you know, there's a balance, so it's somewhere in the middle.
There is a balance. Now, the fact that, you know, San Diego State and Florida Atlantic made the Final Four doesn't make the SEC or the Big 12 any less great. But at some point, you want one of your teams to raise the banner. I mean, that's sort of how you validate all the things that you've said about your league.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.